south of the border, down Mexico way. That's where I fell in love when the stars above came out to play. And now as I wander...
Hello there, all you expat wannabes. I'm Johnny Mueller, and you're listening to The Expat Files, Living in Latin America, the show that tells you just what it's like to live, work, play, and or retire down here in Latin America. It's a mix of the good, the bad, the ugly, and the great, and it's all right here, so let's get started.
Let's start with a few emails. This one's from Frankie. He says, hey, Johnny, I heard in your most recent Expat Files show where you mentioned there's an article saying that a black Sears brand hose could be used as a cheap water heater when put up on your roof. Is there a comparable sturdy hose brand in Guatemala that could do the same job? Where I'm living right now, they don't want me to install solar panels, though I'm tempted to do it anyway. But if I could just use a black hose as a cheap alternative to a solar hot water heater, maybe I could get away with that. In the meantime, with sincere thanks, Frankie. Well, Frankie, thanks for that. You know, I first heard of that do-it-yourself, use your hose on the top of your roof, solar hot water thing, way back when I was thinking of having a pool in Guatemala. But, you know, I found out after living in the Altiplano, you don't want to have a pool. It's too cool. If you do have one, you'll have to heat it. Even very wealthy people in the Altiplano, for that reason, rarely have pools. Instead, they've got a second house. They have a house by the beach, a couple hours away from their main house in the Altiplano, and those beach houses almost always have a pool. By the way, the problem with using a hose as a hot water heater for your pool or for your hot water in the home is that they're at full pressure all the time. So, unless you have a really good, expensive hose, you're going to pop a leak eventually. And what if it's at night or you're not at home when that happens? Now, I found it. I lived in the Altiplano a long, long time, many years, that I never felt it was necessary to have a pool. It was never hot enough, so you just had to have a pool so you could cool up. However, if you live anywhere near a beach or low altitudes, you want to jump in a pool about 6 times a day. So that's why I never recommend you have a pool if you're living in the Altiplano, unless, of course, you're an avid swimmer. And swimming happens to be your hobby, your thing. To me, having a pool in the Altiplano is kind of a waste of money. Though, if well-maintained, they look awful nice, don't they? Problem is, if you have a pool at high altitudes, you gotta heat it. And that's why I looked into that rubber hose solar heating alternative to heat pool water. Which, by the way, you never have to do if your pool is at low altitudes or on the coast. Again, I repeat, if you have a pool in the Altiplano, it'll be cold and you'll want to heat it up and that'll cost you dough. That is, if you're going to heat it up with a traditional gas or electric water heater for pools. Yeah, I know. You can buy prefab solar hot water heaters for your pool. They're very efficient, but that'll set you back at least a grand or two. Which may or may not be worth it, but like I said, unless you're nuts about swimming, or maybe you just want to show off. You know, a lot of people have a pool, as they do jacuzzis and hot tubs, just to show, you know, the neighbors in the world that they can afford to have such a luxury. By the way, I've had a few hot tubs and jacuzzis in my day, and I found out in the end they were never worth it. Never. In fact, expat Eddie says having a jacuzzi or hot tub is like having sex in a new relationship. You'll have more sex with that person in the first 6 months than you will in the next 6 years. Just as you'll spend more time in your new jacuzzi in the first 6 months than you will in the next 6 years. By the way, just a little word of warning. You should never use a public jacuzzi like at one of those resorts. Or in a health club or on a cruise ship, because they keep recirculating the same bacterial-laden water for days, even weeks. Oh, and if you do have a jacuzzi or hot tub at home, I highly recommend you empty it after every use and refill it when you're going to use it again. Or you'll be doing much the same thing, giving a nice, warm, putrid home to billions of bacteria. The fact is, I'm not even really big on going in public pools, even if they look super clean, like at a nice upscale resort. Nope, I don't spend much time in public pools. Not since I had that discussion a while back with a little girl sitting across from me in a big, beautiful, apparently squeaky, sparkling, clean pool at a very nice, upscale, all-inclusive resort. When I asked that little girl as a joke, did you pee in the pool? She said, 4 times. I forgot how honest kids can be. I know. Some of you are thinking, picky, Johnny. What's a little pee in the pool? It won't hurt you. Picky. Well, guilty as charged. But at least I don't carry my own bottle of disinfectant, wipe down the tables and chairs at restaurants, and bring my own forks and knives. Well, nothing wrong with that either if you don't mind people staring at you and whispering behind your back. Aside from that, though, there's something else I do that often garners strange looks. You longtime listeners probably heard me say I make my own water with my own water purification system at home, and I carry a glass bottle of water in my car. And when I go into restaurants, I'll take that bottle in with me and put it down on my table. And I'm sure most everyone in the place who sees that is thinking, what a cheap ass. Bringing his own water so he doesn't have to pay $2 for overpriced restaurant water. Well, you know what? So far anyway, no one's ever called me out on it. Never had a waiter or waitress say, sorry, gringo, you can't bring your own agua pura. The fact is, even the name is an oxymoron. There's nothing pure about it. Yeah, right. Agua pura. That's what they call bottled water. Pure according to whose standards? Purer than what? Dishwater? Toilet water? Gutter water? Meanwhile, anything in a plastic bottle is loaded with microplastics and nanoparticles that end up staying in our bodies. You know that. It's all over the news these days. The thing is, though, you could bring your glass bottle of water into the restaurant, but remember, half of everything prepared in a restaurant or even in your own kitchen is prepared with water, right? And where does that water come from? A plastic bottle, normally, especially since these days so many people have switched over to bottled water and have delivery companies drop off 5-gallon jugs weekly. At least that's the norm down here in Latin America. I don't know what it's like up by you in Boston or Cleveland. By the way, speaking of pollutants and microplastics in water, I've been getting questions about water from gringos and expats who are renting, who tell me they're not allowed to modify the plumbing under the sink to put in their own water purification system. They're not allowed to modify the pipes, drill holes, and put in their own spout. Renters mostly can't or just won't do that. And some, even if they could, are afraid to try. Most don't have the tools or the do-it-yourself know-how, since working with plumbing and PVC pipes takes some practice. You have to know how to cut, clean, and join those tubes. And if you're not used to doing it, it could be a real mess. That glue, man, it gets on everything. You only have so much time to work with that glue. It starts setting right away. If you don't know what you're doing, you don't have experience, you could easily screw it up. And even me, and I've got lots of experience with that stuff, I still get a tiny rush of anxiety when I first open the valves and pressure the system up, because that's when you see if you got any leaks. And if you have one, it's back to the drawing board. The more angles, connections, and fittings, the more chance for a leak. By the way, my best tip here is when you're working with PVC, installing water filters and such, definitely put in more quick connect unions than you think you need. You might know what I'm talking about. They're plastic twist-off couplers. They twist on and off by hand and have a little rubber O-ring type gasket inside. That way, if you do get a leak when you first pressure it up, you don't have to get under the counter, take out the hacksaw, and start cutting. You could just pull out the section that has the leak and work on it by unfastening those couplers. Then lay the leaky section on the kitchen table instead of laying on your back in a puddle of water, trying to fix it with your head stuck in that dark cabinet. Come on, all you do-it-yourselfers out there, admit it. It's happened to you, right? Anyway, for you guys and gals, he, she's, and it's out there. Did I miss any pronouns? If you can't or are unable or not given permission to install a hard-piped water filter system, my best advice is to get one of those echo filters. That is, if you're living in Guatemala, Salvador, or Honduras. You long-term listeners have heard me talk about those filters before. In fact, we visit their factory in Guatemala during practically every one of my expat insider seminars. Anyway, you can buy one of those units at any of the big hardware stores in Guatemala and in a number of other Latin American countries, though not all. They're under $100 and have no plastic parts. They filter bacteria, viruses, metals, pesticides, herbicides, and microplastics. In fact, I know some gringos and expats who buy bottled water because it got really terrible city municipal water. It comes out of the tap kind of brownish color, you know? Anyway, they buy bottled water and put that through their echo filter. Simply because if they put their dirty, cloudy tap water through an echo filter, it'll quickly get clogged and they'll have to clean it out over and over. And though it's fairly easy to clean off that scum, some gringos and expats I know just don't want to put that kind of nasty water in that filter. They're just kind of turned off by that. So they buy those big 5-gallon so-called agua pura garrafones, those plastic water bottles. They pour that water through their echo filter, knowing it'll clean out the microplastics. Remember, throughout Latin America, those big plastic water bottles are stored in alleys and on top of trucks in the sun, which, of course, degrades the plastic. And sometimes you can even taste the plastic. That water even smells like plastic when you pour it into a glass, which is why some gringos and expats who have that dirty municipal water, as mentioned, Come on, admit it. How many times have you taken a drink from a water bottle and it tasted like plastic? Thing is, by the time you could taste and smell plastic in your water, that means there are countless thousands of plastic particles in that bottle that you're drinking. Now, I also get questions from gringos and expats, guys and gals, he's and she's and it's. People who live in Latin America but don't have access to an echo filter. They're not available in every Latin country and in most countries in South America. Especially in South America, most people have never heard of them. So then how can you solve that microplastic contamination problem if you don't have an echo filter? What if you're a renter and can't install a hard plumbed unit under your sink? By the way, Amazon does not sell echo filters. Not because they aren't a great product, and they are. It's because they're very fragile. They're like a big ceramic pot. Easy to crack and damage. In fact, I know gringos and expats who love them so much that they bring a unit or two back to the States when they go back to visit. Guess what? They generally don't bring it as a stowed piece of luggage because it can get damaged when it's packed the normal rough and tumble way by the luggage crew. Instead, they hand carry those things into the cabin. I've seen people flying from Guatemala to whatever country carrying a boxed echo filter on their laps just so it doesn't get damaged. So again, they're not available on Amazon, though I wish they were. By the way, the echo filter engineers are working on another model, a flat disc that fits into a tank so they can just ship the discs around the world. That way they won't break. That model is still a few years away. Remember, they're a gravity-operated filter, no plumbing involved. If you look around for gravity-fed filters on Amazon, you'll find those famous Berkey filters. Famously expensive Berkey filters, over $400. But here's the problem, and I've looked into those things. They're in court right now. They're being sued for falsifying lab tests. So what's that mean? Well, here's the thing. Berkey's always had a really good filter system. Pretty much like the Echo filter system, only they use not a type of ceramic pot filter, but a ceramic candle. Or candles, because the Berkey system, you can put 1, 2, 3, or 4 candles, they're called, or candelas in Spanish, in the base of the system. They look like big, fat, white candles. They're made out of ceramic, carbon charcoal, and they're impregnated with colloidal silver, just like the Echo filter. But here's the thing. A couple of years back, Berkey came out with a different kind of candle. It's not white like the previous models. They're black. I mean solid black. They promised with those black filters, the unit would last at maximum efficiency for 3 years. And they did, according to their tests, but they didn't use the standard NSF filtration standards, which they say are much more rigid than the independent private testing laboratory they used. So the lawsuit says they misrepresent the results of their filters. Now, as for me, I rather like the Berkey system, though with the white candles, the white ceramic candles. And in verified tests for those, they remove practically all contaminants to 99% and microplastics and forever chemicals too. Though you have to replace those candles regularly, so it gets kind of expensive. As it turns out, you're supposed to replace those candles every 6 months. So if you got one candle in your system, 6 months. 2 candles, 1 year. 3 candles, 1.5 years. 4 candles, which is maximum in the unit, 2 years. So each of those candles gives you about 6 months of pure water for a family of four. So then what's the life on those echo filters made in Guatemala? The tests show those last at least 3 years. By the way, those Berkey filter candles are expensive. Gonna cost you at least $100 a year. Plus, get this, a big Berkey unit costs around $400 and something. All stainless steel, of course, no plastic parts, which is good. But here's a tip, a really good tip. There's another company in England called Doulton. D-O-U-L-T-O-N. They actually make the filters, the white filters, for Berkey and other companies. And you can buy from them on Amazon an exact copy of a Berkey system. Same stainless steel, same look, same filters, everything. For half of what a Berkey system costs, $200. So that's what I recommend for you if you cannot get your hands on one of those echo filters. The actual name of the company is British Birkenfield Doulton. And they've got a couple of different sizes of units. If you want to know the exact one to get, the one I recommend, send me an email, theexpatfiles@gmail.com, and I'll send you the Amazon link. I make nothing off this, by the way, zero. I just think it's a very good thing to know if you can't get your hands on one of those echo filters. By the way, if you have one of those newer Berkey systems with those black carbon filters, they're still good. Just don't believe the three-year business. Change them at about 1 year. Change them to the other filters, the white ceramic filter. Because guess what? They're finding there's another little problem with those solid black Berkey filter systems. Lots of people are reporting a kind of algae buildup around those filters themselves. Yuck. By the way, that's something that almost never happens if you have those white candle filters. Unless you don't use the unit for weeks or months. Like, for example, if the tank has water in it and you go on vacation for a couple of weeks or a month, when you come back, you better check it for algae. If so, just clean out the reservoir and wipe down the filter. Now, if you happen to use one of those Dalton systems and have the white filter candles, that almost never happens because they're impregnated with colloidal silver. Just like the Echo filter unit made in Guatemala, it's impregnated with colloidal silver too. And silver, as you know, even the old Romans knew, inhibited algae growth. The Romans found if you threw a silver coin in a water bucket, you could let it sit for days, weeks, months even, and no algae will grow. By the way, that was one of the first methods of water purification in the old, old days, before anyone even knew about bacteria or bugs you couldn't see with the naked eye. Just another one of those very lucky incidences. A kind of serendipity that the old Romans figured that out. The problem is, as it turns out, when people did that in the old, old days, it worked all right, but oftentimes kids or no good nicks would dive in and steal that coin, but replace it with a cheap copper coin, which did not have the same bactericidal effects. By the way, speaking of microplastics and forever chemicals, which unfortunately appear in all water bottles that are plastic. Now, talk about serendipity. In an article that just came out today in the British news service, The Guardian, let me highlight this here. It says, the U.S. chemical industry spent over $110 million during the last two election cycles deploying lobbyists to kill dozens of pieces of forever chemical, that's PFAS legislation. Their objective? To hinder, if not stop, the regulation around forever chemicals. That information was obtained from federal lobbying documents by the Freedom of Information Act. It goes on to say, forever chemicals, or PFASs, are a class of about 14,000 compounds found in our food and water, used to make products to resist water, stains, and heat. These forever chemicals do not naturally break down and are linked to cancer, high cholesterol, liver disease, kidney disease, hormone changes, fetal and embryo complications, etc., etc. It says, a cursory look at lobbying records for eight major producers of forever chemicals, such as 3M, Honeywell, Chemours, DuPont, and Monsanto, show that during the last two election cycles, over 130 PFAS, forever chemical bills, were introduced into Congress, and only eight passed. The rest were killed in committee. Turns out chemical company lobbyists helped kill more than 9 out of 10 of those bills. It says just 8 of the largest PFAS, that is forever chemical manufacturers, paid a combined 28 full-time lobbyists to put pressure on congressmen to defeat those bills. It says the petrochemical industry's lobbyists put up the fiercest resistance to the PFAS Action Act versions of that bill, which were introduced in each election cycle. The bill would have designated forever chemicals, PFOASs, and PFOs, the two compounds that are most dangerous and are widely polluting all the nation's water supplies. Turns out, if passed, the bills would have deemed those two chemicals as hazardous substances under the U.S. Superfund law. This designation reserved for the nation's most dangerous chemicals would have made the manufacturers financially responsible for the cleanup, physical damage to people and the environment. But after lobbyists spread $110 million around, those bills did not pass. All right, me, Johnny, here again. You know, ever since I've been doing this show, it's been 12 years now, right? I've been talking about water and water pollution. I've been giving away my own do-it-yourself plans, how to make and assemble your own cheap but very effective three-stage water purification system using parts you could find at any big hardware store or pool supply outfit. And now, of course, you can order all the pieces from Amazon. I know that some of you long-time listeners were thinking maybe I'm going a little overboard on this water purification thing, thinking maybe I talk about it way too much. You were thinking, why is he making things so complicated? Why not just uncomplicate things and buy bottled water at the grocery store like everyone else? That'll solve everything, right? And then, just this year, in fact, just in the last 6 months, comes all that news. The floodgates are open on nanoplastics and forever chemicals, just how bad our water supplies worldwide are, how even drinking bottled water comes at a risk you and everyone else never even knew existed. So in the end, I guess I wasn't crying wolf after all. So once again, if you want my own do-it-yourself plans to a slick little under-counter water purification system that can be obtained for well under $100, send me an email, theexpatfiles@gmail.com. And if you can't rig one up because you're all thumbs or you're renting, whatever, next best thing, and it is a great alternative, get one of those Echo filters. It's well under $100 too. But unfortunately, unless you're in Central America or know someone who's living there and can get one to you, you're probably not going to be able to locate one. In that case, just go right to Amazon and order one of those stainless steel Birkenfield Dalton gravity feed systems. Not to be confused with Berkey, though it's an exact copy in most all respects, with the very same filters at half the price. Confused yet? You shouldn't be. Just send me an email, theexpatfiles@gmail.com, and I'll send you the link and some info. Again, my recommendation, don't get the Berkey filter with those black carbon candle filters. Stick with the white ceramic ones. They've got carbon inside. You can't see it. It's in a layer deep inside and impregnated with colloidal silver. And finally, for those of you who are great believers in reverse osmosis systems, man, they're great. I had one for many years myself. Problem is, and this is a big problem, as mentioned in a past show, chlorine destroys the membrane and you don't even know it. Puts microscopic pinholes in it. Which is why every reverse osmosis unit comes with a filter, a pre-filter, either made out of activated charcoal or a carbon black, which absorbs the chlorine that might get into the system. Works great, too, for a while, except there's a limit to how much chlorine the carbon can absorb. So you just have to keep changing that filter. They recommend every 6 months. Though that may not be enough here in Latin America, because municipal water systems here, even neighborhoods and residential towers that have their own private well, they just love to overchlorinate their water. It's very inconsistent, too. It's all over the map. Some days, there'll be no chlorine smell at all when you turn on your tap. Other days, the smell could be so strong in your bathroom and kitchen, when you take a shower, etc., you just won't be able to stand it. And that, of course, means if you have a reverse osmosis system hooked up under your kitchen sink, those days when your water supply is saturated with chlorine, your carbon filter, which is in front of your reverse osmosis unit that's supposed to take out that chlorine, will most probably not be able to handle it. There'll be some overspill. And there goes that delicate reverse osmosis membrane. Just saying, love reverse osmosis myself, but it's just not all that practical here in Latin America. Then again, if you're living out the boonies, have your own little homestead and your own personal well, reverse osmosis is a great idea. Just skip the chlorinator on your well. Oh, and here's something important I forgot to mention. You know, let's get back to those problems they're having with those black Berkey filters. Well, as it turned out, a couple of years ago when Berkey introduced those black filters, they promised on their list of particulates and chemicals that they filter to remove fluoride. That's what made them so popular initially. What's not to like about that? Since many people up in the States, anyway, with a half a brain, were starting to realize that fluoride, though traditionally put in nearly every American water supply, was not a good idea. And that new Berkey unit offered a solution. It removed fluoride as well. Even the corrupt FDA says there's no amount of fluoride that's not toxic to the human body. In fact, there are some companies up in the States that sell replacement candles for other water systems that specifically remove fluoride. But unfortunately, and you could look this up, those filters that promise to remove fluoride add aluminum to your water as part of the ion exchange process. And as most people listening to this show and most above average people in the States know, Alzheimer's patients, when autopsied, have an unusual amount of aluminum in their brains. Aluminum is not supposed to be in your brain or anywhere in your body. A toxin that just in the last 100 years is ubiquitous in all the society. Which is why, by the way, I have no aluminum utensils in my house. Pots and pans, etc. Only stainless steel. So, for you listeners up in the States who have a purification system with a fluoride filter, just a little heads up here. There's an excellent chance the fluoride in your water is being replaced with an equal amount of aluminum ions. Not good. Which brings us back to water supplies in Latin America. Well, they certainly have their problems, of course, but they do not have fluoride problems. No one fluoridates their water here in Latin America. So, no need for aftermarket fluoride filters or any of that crap. By the way, have you ever wondered why municipal water companies here in Latin America don't fluoridate their water? Well, it's because one part per million is supposed to reduce cavities. That's misinformation. So anyway, in the States, fluoride level is set at one part per million. Did you know that at 2 parts per million, even 1.5, a condition sets in called fluorosis, where the teeth start turning yellow or green or black. Your bones do. Permanently, it's called fluorosis. That's why Latin American municipal water companies don't fluoridate their water. They can't control the chlorine in their water. Sometimes it's 10 times more than the recommended dosage. Whereas fluoride's a completely different animal. If you even double the recommended dosage of 1 part per million to 2 parts per million, teeth and bones become permanently discolored. In other words, the range of fluoride concentration is very tight. In the States, it's set at 0.7 to 1 part per million, no more. Now, just imagine in Latin America, if the guys responsible for fluoridating the water were the same guys in charge of chlorinating the water supply, the guys who occasionally go nuts and jack up the concentration 5 or even 10 times by mistake. Details, details. It happens all the time down here. You do that with chlorine and the water just stinks and tastes bad. You do it with fluorine and you've got a whole generation of young kids with green, yellow, or black teeth. Oh, and I forgot to mention at 5 to 10 times the regular dose, even at 3 parts per million, that's 3 times the U.S. municipal dose. Kids get mental and toxic kidney problems too. So the good news is for not only Latinos, but gringos and expats as well, there's never going to be fluoride added to the water down here. By the way, how fluorosis was discovered? Well, about 100 years ago or so, it was discovered that in some isolated mountain communities around the world, kids and adults have yellow, green, and black teeth. They discovered their local natural spring water supplies had natural fluoride levels of 2 and 3 parts per million. Turns out they had very ugly teeth but few cavities. And that's when the bright idea came, which turned out not to be such a bright idea. Hey, let's fluoridate water. Just below the level of giving people yellow, green, or black teeth. In the U.S., they went whole hog and did it, never realizing there'd be negative secondary effects. That took until a few years ago to come to light. I repeat, here in Latin America, no one fluoridates the water. And isn't it funny? Cavities are few and far in between. Except in some cases of entitled rich kids who have unlimited access to candy, sweets, and junk food. That's what my Latino dentist friends tell me anyway. They tell me the poor kids have good teeth and the rich kids, not so much.
South of the border. You've been listening to The Expat Files, Living in Latin America. If you need some help with your own Plan B, we can schedule a one-on-one phone or Skype consult. Just send me an email, theexpatfiles@gmail.com. And if you want to get on the waiting list for my next week-long Expat Insider Seminar in Central America, where you're guaranteed to get a 2 to 5 year head start on your Plan B, send me an email, theexpatfiles@gmail.com. Nos vemos.